Okay, boys and girls, very good. That was really, really, really good tonight. And I really want to thank you all for taking part and for doing so well. It's one of the best Sunday school socials I think we've had. And I've really enjoyed all of those lovely choruses. Good news, Christ died for me. Good news, if I believe. And no, you can't get to heaven without S-A-L-V-A-T-I-O-N. So thank you all for taking part. Thank the mums and dads and relatives all for coming, and there's supper provided for us all in the church hall after the meeting tonight. Well, I just want to speak to you for a little while upon what is one of my favourite choruses. Whenever I was a little boy, many years ago, we used to sing this chorus, and it's just called four-letter words, and there are four of them. And one of the reasons I love this chorus so much is it just covers the whole plan of God's salvation from beginning to end. And I just want to talk about these four-letter words. The word love, then the word done, then the word come, and then the word mine. Okay, so they're very important words, and they're all Bible words. That's the most important thing. If you have ever got a question about God or about heaven or any of these important issues, always make sure that you get a Bible answer. There's lots of opinions out there, but somebody's good opinion or good idea is really no good to you unless it's a Bible answer. And the first word is this word, love. Love, love, L-O-V-E. Now, boys and girls, could you tell me how you would know whether or not somebody loves you? Put up your hand if you can answer that. How would you know whether or not somebody loves you? Henry, what was that? They might hug you, yeah? Good answer, yeah? How else might you know if somebody loves you? Tony? Ask the Lord Jesus into your heart. Yeah, that's a good answer. You're jumping the gun a wee bit, but I know where you're coming from. How would you know if somebody loves you? Isaac? Do the dishes for you? Absolutely, yeah. Tell you, you'd really need to love somebody to want to do the dishes in our house. That's true. Somebody might tell you that they love you. They might say, I really love you. And it's nice to tell people that you love them. Your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister. Tell them that you love them. Or you could write them a wee note or send them a card with those lovely words, I love you, on it. And that's declaring your love. That's telling somebody that you love them. And God tells us that He loves us in the Bible. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And from Genesis to Revelation in the Bible, God is telling us that He loves us. The Bible is God's love letter to this world. And then, of course, to show that you love somebody, not just tell them that you love them, but do something for them. Do the dishes, as Isaac said. Give them a big hug or a big sloppy kiss and just tell them that you love them, or even give them something, something that we like in our house. And I'm not going to embarrass anybody, mini eggs. And if I want to tell somebody in my hot family that I love them, I'll give them a big bag of mini eggs. And they'll probably last about 6 or 7 minutes, okay? You know, if you open a can of beans, it doesn't take you that long to eat them. Well, there's a person in our house eats mini eggs, just like they would eat a can of beans, shoveling them into their mouths. And mini eggs, good way to tell somebody that you love them. But God tells us that He loves us, and more than that, God shows us that He loves us, and that's what this little chorus tells us. Love, love, L-O-V-E, love, love, boundless and free, Jesus left heaven to die on the tree. This was love, love, love. God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now look what the chorus says. Love, love, L-O-V-E, love, love, boundless and free. That means there's no limit to God's love. He loves us in spite of ourselves. The Bible says that God so loved the world. All sorts of different people with different backgrounds, from different countries of different ages. God's love is boundless. And then it says God's love is free. You don't have to try to earn it. You don't have to try to work for it. There's a little verse in the Bible, and God says, I will love them freely. I will heal their backslidings. God loves us freely, even in spite of ourselves. We've all sinned, and we've broken God's law, and we've fallen short of God's glory, and we've gone astray like a wandering sheep, and yet God's love is boundless and free. And then it says, Jesus left heaven. And Jesus is the Son of God. And he's eternal. He was never created. He was the eternal Son of God. And yet he left the splendor of heaven and he came into this world to die upon a tree or die upon a cross. Because he loves us and he wants to save us. And that was the only way our sins could be forgiven. This was love, love, love. And maybe whenever you get a little bit older, and you think, you know, it's not cool to go to Sunday school. It's not cool to go to children's meetings. It's not cool to go to church anymore. And you decide, I'm going to live my life without God. And then maybe way, way far down the line, things maybe haven't worked out for you that well, like the prodigal son. If that ever happens, remember, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Now here's another word, four-letter word, done, D-O-N-E. I've got something in my Bible, and it's called a receipt, okay? I got this receipt whenever I bought the mini eggs earlier on today, and if you're a man, usually whenever you go to the shops, you don't lift a basket, and you don't bring a bag. You know the way you have to pay for bags now? And I'm a bit stingy and I don't like to have to pay for a bag. And all the ladies come into the shops, they've got these lovely canvas bags with flowers on them. And then they maybe lift a trolley or push a, or lift a basket, not lift the trolley, but push the trolley around the shops. And if you're like me and you're a man, you march into the shop and you start stacking things up in your arms. And then you go up to the, you know, the self-checkout thing, and it never works for me. And then you get your receipt. And the reason you need a receipt is because you don't have a bag. And then if you go into another shop with your mini eggs, the man will say, you need to pay for those because you don't have a bag with Sainsbury's on it. And then you can produce the receipt and say, listen, they've been paid for already. And whenever Jesus Christ died on the cross, he paid for our sins. And we know that God the Father accepted that payment because Jesus Christ, the Bible says, rose again for our justification. And so the work of salvation and the work of paying for our sins, in the words of this course, it's done. It's been paid for. It's been settled on the cross. And I've got the receipt, which is the Bible, that tells me that Jesus Christ cried out on the cross, it's finished, done, done. D-O-N-E. Then look at the words, done, done, done perfectly. None of us could ever do anything perfectly, especially if it was to do something to please God in heaven. But whenever Jesus Christ lived in this earth, he did something that none of us could ever do. He lived a life that was perfect. He never stole, he never lied, he never cheated, he never had a lustful thought, he never did anything wrong. His life was perfect. And then whenever he went to the cross, he died on the cross, and he offered up his life as a sacrifice, and he perfectly paid the price for our sins. And then he cried out one word, finished. Christ cried, when on Calvary he died, so it's done, done, done. Now maybe you think tonight, well, if I try my best to live a good life and I really try really hard and I pray a little bit and I read my Bible and I go to church from time to time and I try to, you know, do the things that are right, that'll get me to heaven. You know, boys and girls, parents tonight, it won't. The Bible says all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. And it's like if I was to try to jump off this platform and land up in the gallery, it's just not going to happen. I might be able to jump maybe to the first pew, or if I took a run to the second or third pew, probably hurt myself in the process, but I'll never be able to jump far enough to get into the gallery from this platform. And none of us can ever do enough to bridge the gap between us and God. But Jesus Christ on the cross said it's finished. And he reconciled us, the Bible says, to himself. He took fallen humanity, sinners in one hand, God the Father's hand in the other, and he brought sinners to God by his work upon the cross. But you know, it doesn't end there, because there's another word in our course that says, come, 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 C-O-M-E, come, come, come unto me. Jesus receives whosoever believes when they come, come, come. Now, the word come is a very simple word to understand. If you've got a little dog and you train it well enough, you hold out a biscuit and you say, come. And then the next time you don't have the biscuit, but you say, come, the little dog will probably come. It knows what you mean. And we got this lovely little card through the door the other day, and it was from a member of our family. And it says, Andrew and Alana request the pleasure of your company at their marriage on Wednesday, the 30th of March, 2016. And that's away over in Macrofelt. Now, we knew this was happening, and I tried to talk to my brother-in-law and ask him, was he doing the right thing? But he couldn't be persuaded, and he's getting married, and he sent us an invitation. And it's a lovely thing to receive an invitation, whether it's to a birthday party, or to a wedding, or to a dinner, or something that's good and upright and legitimate. It's nice to get an invitation, but you need to reply to it. It sometimes says at the bottom, RSVP. And I think that's French for respondez, s'il vous plaît. Respond, please. Send back an answer. Let us know if you're coming. And Jesus Christ in the Word of God says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, come, for all things are now ready. He says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And the Word of God so many times gives us the invitation to come, but you have to reply. You can't just sit there and say, well, I know that God has done the work. I know that Christ died on the cross. I know that he invites me to come. But you know, if you don't reply to an invitation, it's just bad manners. And God in heaven invites you to come and trust him tonight and have your sins forgiven and your soul saved and a life worth living and a home in heaven. And he invites you to come. Now, you have to respond. Jesus said, come unto me. Jesus receives whosoever believes when they come, come, come. And that word whosoever includes all of us. It doesn't even say Roger Higginson. And if it did say Roger Higginson, there might be another Roger Higginson somewhere else in the world. But it says whosoever. And that definitely includes me, and that includes you. And then it says, whosoever believes, and that speaks of faith. I believe that I'm a sinner. I believe that I can't save myself. I believe that God loved me. I believe that Christ died for me. I believe that the work's done. I believe he invites me to come. And you know what? Whenever I was a boy of 13, I came to Christ. And while I've let him down many times since, he received me, and he's never cast me off, and he still is my Savior tonight. Then the last word, the word mine, M-I-N-E. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, I am my beloved's, and he is mine. You know, whenever you really, really want something, and you think it's just too much for me to afford or be able to work for. Maybe it's a bicycle, maybe it's an iPad, maybe it's a scooter, maybe it's a skateboard, maybe it's something really special. And maybe you ask your mum or dad or somebody that's got the money to buy it for you, and maybe you get it for your birthday, and you wait and you wait and you wait, and then you get it, or you wait until Christmas, and then Christmas morning comes, and you get that gift, whatever it is, and you just think, this belongs to me now. Somebody has bought me this gift, and now it's mine. And nobody will ever be able to take it from me because it belongs to me. Well, that's what it's like whenever you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is my Savior. He is my Lord. He is my friend. He is my Master. Look at the words, mine, mine, M-I-N-E, mine, mine, eternally, forever. And ever and ever and ever, Jesus Christ is going to be my Savior, my Lord, my Master, my friend. Wonderful love. Jesus came from above to be mine, mine, mine. Now, can I ask you, just as the meeting almost comes to a close, we'll probably sing this in a moment or two, is he your Savior? Can you say he's mine? Now, tonight we've tried to tell you about his love. Tonight we've tried to tell you, and the boys and girls have done the same, to tell you that the great work has been done upon the cross, and there's nothing that can be added to it or taken away from it. And Jesus invites you to come, and if you come and believe and receive him as your Savior, then you'll be able to say he's mine. Now, tomorrow, and forever in heaven. And that's just a wonderful thing. And we trust tonight that you'll be able to do that. Now, I'll maybe ask Sandra, please, just, and Pauline as well, if they'd be able to play the music for this.